If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I must confess, Lee can't take the offering up without making me smile. So everybody says, why are you smiling? When Lee walks out, for some reason, he just makes me smile. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. Romans chapter 1. We'll return this morning to this text that we've taken some time in. As we consider this morning, suppressing the truth, man's rebellion against God's revelation. We'll read again verses 16 through 22, perhaps more, of this pericope. As is our custom, please stand with me as we read God's holy word. And let's pray and ask Him to bless that reading to us. Our Father and our God, again, this is Your Word. Holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible. I pray our only rule of faith and practice. And Father, we ask that You might bless us with Your Spirit now. Unstop our ears. Remove the scales from our eyes. Crush our hearts of stone. That we might be changed forevermore. Forgive the one who speaks. Again, his sins are many. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands true forever. Amen. Please be seated. Having beheld, I believe, the radiant glory of the gospel, as we've seen, the power of God for salvation through the righteousness of God received by faith alone, and the revealed wrath of God against unrighteousness, Paul, now as we consider our pericope, Romans 1, 18b through 20, Paul now turns our eyes to the dark impact of sin. The dark impact of sin within each sinner that again makes the gospel so necessary. Look at it again with me, Romans 1, 18b through 20. Who by their unrighteousness, we're told, suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. Here's your proposition for this morning. Because of the noetic effects of sin, N-O-E-T-I-C, because of the noetic effects of sin, fallen humanity, listen to me, fallen humanity clearly perceives God's eternal power and divine nature in creation, yet willfully suppresses this truth in unrighteousness. Suppresses this truth in unrighteousness, leaving all people without excuse before the holy God. And therefore it drives us, we must never forget this, it drives us to our only hope, which is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. Amen? The effects of sin are so total in nature that we as fallen human beings, although clearly perceived God's eternal power in all of creation, willfully suppress that knowledge. Willfully suppress that knowledge in unrighteousness. Here I believe the Apostle Paul lays bare the universal guilt again of mankind under that broken covenant of works. From the garden we know of Eden onwards, you're going to get this. Humanity was created with clear knowledge of our covenant Lord. Let me say that again, because most of us don't believe that or understand that. From the garden of Eden onward, humanity was created with clear knowledge of our covenant Lord, and therefore placed in a world designed to display that glory. You following me? Yet we know and we understand that in Adam we fell, and the effects of that fall touch every part of us. And this brings us to what theologians call the noetic effects of sin. Noetic really comes from the Greek word for mind. And in other words, because of the fall, sin has corrupted not only our wills and our affections and actions. Okay? We need to understand that the fall has corrupted our minds. Now listen to me. We don't cease to be rational creatures. But our reason now is darkened. It's twisted. It's hostile to God. And it's hostile to God in all spiritual matters. Because think about it. We see evidence of our Creator all around us. All around us all the time. Yet we actively suppress that truth again in unrighteousness. The Puritans vividly described it. The fallen mind has become, here's Calvin, a factory of idols. Now listen, that perverts clear revelation into lies. John Owen and Thomas Watson would remind us that this is no innocent ignorance. It's willful, moral. It's a willful, moral rebellion that flows from our heart and a heart that hates the light. Now, I believe, as others believe, all human problems can be traced back to the fall. All human problems ultimately trace back to the fall and the entry of sin into the world. And the noetic effects means that sin corrupts human thinking, reasoning, and interpretation of all reality. Let me say that again. The noetic effects of sin mean that sin corrupts your human thinking, your reasoning, and your interpretation of reality. Now, we live in a world, what's your reality? What's real for you? Well, here's what's real for me. What is real? What is reality? Part of the problems we see, I think, in evangelicalism at large today is that we've lost the reality that we are indeed creatures of our Creator.
a creator who is, as I reminded you, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and sovereignly rules all things. Who, within that which he created, works things providentially for his glory and our good. That means he's in charge, we're not. Amen. Now think about that. That's reality. But sin has impacted us. As sinners, we need to understand, before we have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God himself, our reasoning, our thinking, and our understanding of reality is distorted and has been corrupt. Now, we see remnants of that even in ourselves as we have been regenerated. In other words, repented of our sin, placed our faith and trust in Christ alone, and our sons and daughters of the living God. We still deal with that. My question to you this morning is this: what is your reality? In which reality do you live? Here's the problem. We all have what we perceive is to be real. This is my world. Even though we profess to believe, or just we profess to be believers in God in his truth, right? This is my little world, but it encompasses this world and that world. But what's real? I think what Paul's trying to do here before he drops the hammer and he really shows the impact of sin on sinners post-fall is to have us wrestle with that question. What indeed is truly my reality? Do I see all things as governed by the triune God? Or is the remaining sin within me so subtle that I seek to suppress that truth and live in my own reality? Now, if last week was philosophically deep, this or theologically deep, this week is philosophically deep. But this is the depth in which, again, I remind you what Paul is doing here in the first chapter of Romans. If we don't get this, we don't get any of it. If you don't get chapter 1 of Romans, and I'll say this over and over again, you don't get Genesis through Revelation. We need to get this down and wrestle with these truths. Now, closely related to this idea of what's real and what isn't real and what is reality and what isn't reality is a modern concept known as neutral reason. Have you heard about this? Have you heard anything about this or read anything about this? Many today argue, now listen to me, many today imagine they can stand on some impartial, unbiased ground. We see this everywhere, don't we? What's your opinion? I don't have an opinion. I'm Switzerland, right? I'm Switzerland. I don't have an opinion. I'm not going to bash this group, bash that group. I'm not going to have an opinion. I don't have an opinion. When we all know deep down we have opinions and we want our opinions to be heard. And we think our opinion's right. True? Neutral reason. They imagine that they can stand on an unbiased ground evaluating God's revelation, if you will, from a cool distance, you know, cool. Does your mind ever remain on neutral territory? You're all asking yourself right now, what's he talking about? Your mind's not on neutral territory now. You're lost. Well, what is he talking about? The way it affects the sin, reality, reason, neutral reason, what? Your mind's not neutral now. And yet there's a whole group, including us, I think, undercover, who seek to be remain neutral. Here's the deal. Every one of you, including me, when I say every one of you, remember, I talk to myself too, not just you. Every one of us, okay? Every one of us reasons from, I think, deep presuppositions. Do you get what I'm talking about? Preconceived notions or understandings. Starting points. We all operate from this place. Deep presupposition. Now here, the believer reasons thus.
from the presupposition of autonomy. He reasons from this: I'll judge God and I'll judge God's word. Now the believer, that's again, I pray us, the believer reasons from the authority of God's word. Now, let's put it all together real quick. I'm asking you to wrestle with yourself to understand how you perceive reality and how and what you believe to be real and how you function within that reality. Now I'm asking you, do you come at it as an unbeliever who's one who says, I'll be the judge of God and I'll be the judge of His word? Or do you perceive reality or define reality? Do you define reality from the authority of God's word and God's word alone? I believe that's what's at stake today in the world. And I see that more and more in the church today. We argue the power of God's word and the necessity of God's word, but we don't define reality of God's word. We allow the world to dictate what's real. Now, look at me. This will be my only rant, and maybe somebody's already had a rant, but we live in a world of fake news, right? Come on. Fake news? Is the news real? Let me ask any of you. I'd like you to stand up and for 3 minutes, tell me exactly what's going on in around the world right now, okay? Tell me exactly what's going on between Russia and the Ukraine. Do you know? What are we doing right now? What's President? Here's what I want you to do. Go home, turn on your TV. You have a choice of 14 news shows to pick from. How many versions of reality are you going to hear? 14. 14 versions. And we're there is because Trump's cutting a deal with China. What's China got to do with this place? Right? 14 versions. We have skewed, suppressed the knowledge of God that is inherent in each human being to the point where reality has become so distorted, and we as believers are drinking the Kool-Aid. Now, please do not hand me cards on the way out the door of your favorite news or podcast. You need to listen to Newsweek. They tell the truth. You need to listen to that guy. He tells the truth. Right? I'm not getting into any of that. I don't play in that arena, and you're not dragging me in it. But I am going to say what I just said. What is real? How do you interpret the world in which you live? Through the lens of what you hear on TV like the rest of the world? Or do you interpret world events through the Word of God? Well, who's going to be the leader there? Here's my answer. Everybody is mad at me because, you know, we live in the South and I am a son of the revolution. Okay, let's get that on the table. My people were here long, long, long time. We have a captain, Captain so-and-so Hunter, who served in the Revolutionary War. My daughters, my granddaughters, my wife, same. We have heritage, good heritage. So don't tell me I'm not American. Okay? I'm an American. I love America. Just got back from South Dakota. I found out I am an American. I like South Dakota. And there ain't nobody there, but I liked it. Okay? But what is real? We're trying to see people come from death to life as we play with a suppressed reality through the world in which we live. We have to stop. Interpret the world through the lens of Scripture. People call it the biblical worldview. Now, okay, somewhere along the line we lost that concept. It's more than that. It's what's real. This is real. Regardless of what the world's doing, regardless of what unregenerate people are doing,
regardless of what Satan is doing, reality is dictated by the triune God and Him alone. Amen. Therefore, we should interpret the world in which we live in through the lens of His Word. And stop listening to everything else. Well, we should... Okay. Here's what people get mad at. You thought I forgot, but I didn't. I'm coming back to that. Who are you going to vote for? Friend? You need to vote for this guy. You need to vote for that. Okay. Get out there. Support your best person and all that other stuff. I'm all for that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying now. People say that to me all the time. I say, who are you going to vote to? A, none of your business. Right? I'm not American. B, here's what I know. Whoever God wants to be president of this country will be president of this country. Whoever the next leader is in Iran will be who God appoints. The question is, what do I do with that reality? Amen? That's what Paul's doing here. He's seeking really to rip us down. As we say, Scripture's number one job truly is, I believe, more and more the older I get, to rip us down and put us back together in reality through the Word of God and God alone. You can't remain objective, beloved, and be a Christian. No, let me rephrase that. You can't remain objective or neutral and be a person. More importantly, you shouldn't be as a Christian. The very creation we work in, the very creation we play in, the earth, the sky, seed, harvest, daily preaches to us the eternal power and divine nature of the triune God. Daily. How many times have you listened to that sermon? It preaches to us every day. And we suppress it, even us. In Christ Jesus. And yet, apart from the regenerating grace of the Holy Spirit, others suppress it continuously. And they exchange the truth of what's displayed with a lie. That's why the gospel is such glorious news. The same God who reveals His wrath in creation, He's revealed His righteousness in Christ. And as we open this text today and begin to unpack it, our hope is that we don't suppress the truth, but humble ourselves before it. Check reality. Check what's real. How you interpret reality. How you see reality. How you define reality. But more importantly, beloved, well, not more. In addition to that, may your prayer be that you do not any longer suppress the truth, but humble yourselves before God. You see, our hope is that our hearts are driven back to the saving power of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's doing here in his argument. Now, quickly. Point one, if you want this whole sermon, you got to come back again tonight. I'm sorry to keep doing that, but I have Hosea sermons. We will get back. I want you to see the clarity here of general revelation. We've seen that because of the noahic effects of sin, fallen humanity doesn't really approach God's revelation with neutral reason. And we've argued that there's no impartial, unbiased standpoint from which we evaluate the Creator of all things. And we've seen that our minds are corrupted and biased toward what? Suppressing that. Listen, from Sunday school. If you weren't in Sunday school, sorry, let me talk to Sunday school people. If you were in Sunday school, give me a perfect example of people suppressing this. In addition, what will we see in a couple weeks? It's not just the Egyptians suppressing what God's revealed. Who's going to suppress it in a couple weeks, months, whatever, years? I don't know the timeline. His own people. I hope this morning, if you were in Sunday school, you saw yourself in Egypt. You saw you in the Egyptian. That's what we do continuously, true or false. Think about this. We get bad news from the doctor. What do we do? You get bad news from the doctor, what do? Everybody's watermelon down. What's happening here?
Second opinion.
Second opinion is the same as the first. Now what are we doing? Listen, you do it. You're just not going to be honest with me. He does. Jim does it. He's a doctor. He ain't going to be honest either. I wouldn't be honest with you. There you go. Bad news comes. What do? Immediately, Lord, help me here. Lord, help me. If you make this cancer go away, I'm making changes tomorrow. Right? Isn't that what Pharaoh was doing over and over again? Hey, take this away. It's all good. I'll make change. And then he does it, and then he goes right back, right? Dog always returns to what? His vomit. We do the same thing with God, don't we? If you make me better, if you take care of this COVID, there, that was a good one. Don't let me get COVID. That's the end of the world. We're all going to die. True? I'm making changes. I'm going to get up every day, and I'm going to walk 2 miles. I'm no longer going to do this. I'm no longer doing that. I've smoked for 75 years, but I'm quitting tomorrow. I guarantee it, Lord. Right? And then all of a sudden, the doctor says, we made a mistake. It wasn't cancer at all. You're not out of the doctor's office parking lot. Put a cigarette in your mouth. Now, people aren't out there going, I don't smoke. That's for bad people. But you get my point, right? Don't you do that?
Over and over again, we seek to reason with that. The general revelation is so clear, we miss the point over and over again. We can't be impartial. We can't be unbiased. You have preconceived presuppositions that drive reality for you. What are they? For what can be known, look at your text. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived since when? The creation of the world in the things that have been made. Paul's using strong language here. Paul uses, look, plain, the word plain. God has shown it. He has shown himself clearly. Now, we're going to make a distinction for all you budding theologians between general revelation and special revelation. But what we're arguing now is the reality of God, the triune God, which we still debate and living under his authority and power. But Paul tells us clearly he's made himself plainly known. He's shown it. He's clearly perceived in this general revelation. So we must understand that the knowledge of God is available to every human being through creation and conscience. The knowledge of God is not hidden. When we came to this text, I wanted to fall into an old habit and answer the question, what about the poor pygmy in South America who's never heard the gospel? This sermon always revolves around that kind of thought, right? What about the guy that never heard the gospel? Well, Paul's taking care of that, but he's taking care of that even closer to home, as I hope the Holy Spirit shows us how we are guilty of suppressing the truth of God, even as believers. God has made himself known, clearly known. How do you interpret the world in which you live? Through the lens of your sinful, sinning self. Through the lens of a world that hates you. Through the lens of evil. Or do you interpret the world in which you dwell? Through the power and authority of his word.
That, beloved, is being a student of the Word. Quoting 700 Bible verses is great. But if you're not interpreting yourself, God, the world and its events, through the lens and power and authority of His Word, you don't have reality. And far too many of us professing believers live in a suppressed reality. Why do people do what they do? I can't believe that question is so hard for us believers. And what reality do you live? As we continue to study His Word, I pray that we become a people who interpret the world which cries out daily of the power of the triune God through His lens. Then we will change, the church will change, and we'll see change in the world. But if we still and continue to insist on living through Fox, CNN, MSNBC, Newsweek, don't hand me a card, we suppress the truth. Think about it. Our Father and our God, again, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I don't know. May the Holy Spirit be blessed. May Your name be praised. You threw me in the deep end of the pool, so I threw them in with me. So I ask, Lord, that even now, You would reveal Yourself to us again. Give us eyes to behold the wonder of who You are and what You're doing and the things You've made. And Lord, in addition to that, we have Christ. Father, we above all should be a people who live in what reality really is. Grant that we would be students of the book and interpret You, ourselves, the world, its events, through Your lens. For the sake of Christ and His crown alone, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.